Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
So I fully realize there are times when we hear stories from the Old Testament and the New Testament that we can be quite confused about what they mean or kind of how they played out. And of course, some of that comes because these things happened 2,000 years ago in the New Testament, and it happened over half a world away, and so it just feels very different. Now, I realize that this is something that you might experience, but I want you to know it's something that I experience as well, that I don't always understand these stories quite as I hope I could. And there's scholars, the biblical scholars, don't always quite understand them as best as they might like either. There's a lot of mystery behind them. So one of the things we get to do is we get to hear these stories that are ancient but still amazingly relevant for us, and we get to understand how they impact our lives now. But some of the stories, actually, if we hear them in a new way, we could hear them as if they were happening in our own backyard, because there are very similar circumstances to what some of these people went through to what we're going through. And in particular, there's one of these stories that I think if we can hear it as if it was happening today and in our own area, we might have a better understanding of the impact of what it all meant. Now, so I took a little liberty here, and I wanted to do something a little different. And so what I did is I took the story of when Paul was in Athens, and I rewrote it as if it was happening here and now. Instead of Athens, imagine that Paul was visiting Chicago. Now, I hope that this isn't just corny. I hope it's something that's a little interesting, at least to you. But I want to share the story of Paul's visit to Chicago and Paul's experience of our city with you. And after I'm done, there's something I want to share about this story that I think is helpful and important for all of us. So without any further ado and trepidation on my part, here's the story of Paul's visit to Chicago. So Paul was with his friends, waiting for his friends, in fact, actually, and he had some time to kill. You might even think of it as like he had a layover in O'Hare of a substance. And so he decided to go downtown Chicago where all the action was. And Paul, being who he was, you know, kind of a religious guy in all senses, decided to strike up some conversations with people at the local Starbucks. Now, he had a good idea of who he should talk to about his passions, which was about Jesus as the Messiah. And so he struck up conversations with religious people. You know, if you've ever been at a coffee shop, you'll know who the religious people are because we're talking about things that nobody else is talking about. And so Paul had some debates with the religious people that he found at Starbucks downtown. And he had debates with the Jewish people, he had debates with people that weren't religious, he had debates with people who followed any kind of religion as well, and he got kind of a reputation quickly. Now, Paul had a lot of time on his hands, and so he actually decided to go and visit some other people, and he found his way to the lawyers in town and debated them. He also debated things with financial leaders as well, and he really just had quite the experience. Now, he also found his way to getting the attention of some of the college professors that were in town. Maybe he ran into some people from the University of Chicago or UIC or DePaul campus, whatever it might have been. He kind of found his way there too. And those people in particular had a lot of questions for Paul because of what he was preaching, this message that they felt was new. And so he started to have debates with them, and it was quite interesting, but really didn't go much of anywhere. He wasn't getting any progress. But they found it fascinating and they wanted to know more. So what they did is they invited Paul to go with them to the place where they could find more people for him to debate and for them to kind of listen to him. So imagine, if you would, that they would actually do this at Millennium Park, because back in the ancient days, this was something of interest. It was the public spectator. And so they invited Paul to go with them to Millennium Park and found themselves in the company of more philosophers and professors and leaders of religious and financial institutions and political as well. And they were all gathered to hear Paul talk. Now remember, Paul was visiting here. He wasn't from Chicago. He was from somewhere else. And so he had a lot to learn about the city. and he noticed something in particular about the city, and he said to himself, I can use this to my advantage. So he begins his speech because, you know, preacher types, we like to go monologue style more often than we probably should, and for longer than we probably should either. And he said to the people of Chicago, Paul said to them, you know, Chicagoans, I've noticed that you are really religious people, that you have a lot of people and maybe gods that you follow. And I've seen evidence of this all over your city. I mean, I've seen the monument for the people that play baseball, and I've seen the statues outside of their stadiums. Clearly, you have a thing for those little animals and the White Sox people. You have statues celebrating Minnie Minoso and Frank Thomas on the south side. I've seen your cathedrals that are devoted to music and the arts, and you have lifting up of song and instruments and Broadway and whatever that is, and I can see you're dedicated to those arts as well and the gods around that. But did you know in the midst of this park that we're in right now, there's actually one more altar, one more god that you have a tribute to? It's interesting to me because you have named this the unknown god. Now, I realize that you're doing this to cover your bases in case you miss somebody because you don't want to leave somebody out and get them angry at you. But I'm here to tell you that the unknown god is someone that I can make known to you. That Paul says to the people then that I can tell you who this is. The unknown God is a knowable God, Paul said. The unknown God is actually the God who created all things. The unknown God is the God who actually loves you like a parent loves children. The unknown God is the one who actually has put time into place and has created existence. And not just here, but everywhere. And because of this God, you are the children of God. This isn't some cosmic deity that doesn't care about you. This isn't some cosmic deity or angry deity that's going to make your life miserable. No, this is a God who loves you like a parent loves their children. And because of that, you can know that you are a child of God. That there's a part of God in you, and because of that, you matter to God. Now, I want you to understand all this about who this God is. And you might be thinking to yourself, like, well, how can we believe this? How can we at all believe this to be true? Paul then tells them why they can believe this. Paul says to them, you can believe that this God is the one who I say God is because God has promised to come back. Now, God promised to come back and will bring judgment at that time, but God's going to bring someone to bring about the judgment, and his name is Jesus. Now, that might not mean much to you, but let me tell you about what happened to him. Not only did God promise this to us through him, but God proved that God was with Jesus by doing something miraculous. God raised Jesus from the dead. And I know what you're thinking, that there's that can't happen or that that's not what happens really for anybody else. And you're right. It doesn't happen. But it is a sign that God is with Jesus and that the promise that God makes about Jesus is trustworthy because God just doesn't raise anybody from the dead unless there's something important for that person to do. Now, that's the speech that Paul gave. And then, like any preacher or any evangelist, you know, you get feedback from the people that are around you. And some of those people that were with Paul, those professors and philosophers and religious leaders and political leaders and financial leaders and lawyers, all of them, some of them just laughed at Paul in his face because they thought it was preposterous. Others actually said they wanted to know more about all this because they found it to be intriguing. Some of them maybe found it intriguing personally. Some of them just thought it was the latest, greatest fad that they were learning about. But some wanted to learn more. But you know what also happened in that moment? A few people took Paul seriously. A few people heard that message and believed. They believed that they could be children of God. They believed that there was a God that they didn't know who wanted to know them, and that God could be the one that was a part of their life. Paul then had a few people respond in beautiful ways in that time and joined his church. says that few people got baptized and then became part of the faith family. And that's the story of Paul's visit to Chicago. Now, I do need to tell you, all joking and potential to be creative aside, the story that I paraphrased is when Paul visited a place in Athens, Greece, in ancient Greece. And he visited not a park in downtown, but rather a place called the Agora, where they would have these philosophical debates. It's a place you can still go right now and find people selling things, but also this lineage. And why I wanted to tell you this story in particular, and why I thought this one might be fun to hear in language that frames it up for what we would experience today, is because what Paul did here is so important. Paul delivered a world-changing message in Athens and elsewhere about how much God actually cares and loves about people. And he did it in a way that was valuing and inclusive of the people. See what he did? He didn't come in and condemn them for what they believed. Rather, he saw that they had the capacity for great faith and great belief because of who they worshiped. Now, Paul had an opinion about who they worshiped and what that meant. And of course, he wanted them to worship God because that's the thing that he wanted for them. But what he didn't do was dismiss them. What he didn't do was try to break them down and tell them what they were doing wrong. Rather, he showed them a beautiful truth about the unknown God that he knew was real and told them that God loved them and that they could be children of God, that they were children of God because God had created all things and had loved all people. And they didn't know this, but they needed to know this. And so Paul brought this to them in a way they could understand and brought them in. Now, not everybody believed and not everybody came to faith in that day, but a few people did, and a very important few people as well. Now, it was important for them because they were leaders in the community, and this established some credibility for Paul in Athens. Now, I wanted you to hear this story again because it shows us something about how God wants us to understand something. There's two things that God wants us to understand. God wants us to understand without question that we are children of God. I know I say that often, and it's a theme that runs through a lot of different messages, but remember that this was earth-shattering to them, that they were loved by God. And also, this is still earth-shattering today. This is world-changing. This is paradigm-changing because so many people don't believe that they could be loved by God. They don't believe they could be loved by God because they've been told by Christians that God doesn't love them. They've been led to believe that God doesn't love at all because God isn't love. But when you know that God actually is a God of love and that you are a child of God, everything changes. And God wants to make sure that you know that is true about you. And God wants to make sure that I know that's true about me. And God wants us to do everything we can so that everybody and anybody in our lives can know that they are a child of God, without question. But there's another thing that happens here that is so important for us to see, is not just what Paul does, but how he does it. This is an instance where we can get a glimpse of why and how it's important to be affirming of people. God doesn't have Paul come in with an agenda to tear things down at first. No, God has Paul come in with a message of love. And because Paul came with a message of love at this time in the way he did, and a message of hope, he was able to win people over. And so we need to take seriously that there is a twofold thing going on here. One, this reminder for all of us that we're children of God, and also this important message for us who are people of faith to know what it means to share this message with others. That we want to do it in a way that is winsome, and we want to do in a way that builds people up. Of course, in time, God changes everything and changes the way we see things. But God doesn't want us to come in with a sledgehammer to break things up. God rather wants us to come with a message of love and the love of God for people. Now, again, I realized that this is a simple thing. a simple thing in concept, but it's a difficult thing when we put it into practice. So I want to encourage each one of us to remember that there are ways in which what the things that Paul went through 2,000 years ago, when we stop and pay attention to just how amazing they are, we'll also see how clearly they can be similar to the experiences we have today. And maybe you're going to find yourself downtown Chicago sometime. Maybe you'll find yourself somewhere else. But I'm guessing you're going to pump up against people who are like the people Paul had conversations with. And I want to encourage every one of us, no matter what we believe about God, to take a word of hope and a reminder out of Paul's message. A reminder that you are a child of God. That you are a child of God that God loves, and you're a child of God that God wants to experience that love. But also, if we are going to deliver this message, we want to make sure we deliver it in a healthy and winsome way. And when we do that, we can build people up. And that's what God wants us to do. Now, I hope this story wasn't just cheesy. I hope that it was something that could be meaningful to you. But remember, all of this is coming from God's hope for us, that we can know how to act like God wants us to act. So when we put these things into our hearts and our minds, we can act more like God wants us to act. And we can bring hope to so many people.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.